Hallelujah. Yes, we bow before you, Lord. We bow before you and we worship you. God Almighty, you are our strength and our shield and our fortress and our deliverer, our healer. God, you're everything that we need. And Lord, we just seek you. Lord, you said that we were to seek you, Lord. We would find you. If we knock, it would be open. If we ask, we would receive. And Lord, we know that those are present tense Greek verbs, meaning continue asking, continue knocking, continue seeking. And so, Lord, we continue to seek you. We want to draw near to you so that you will draw near to us. And, Lord, we pray for that. We pray for you to move in this place. We pray for you to move in our lives. And we ask you to speak to each of us today and to those watching and listening. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everybody. Hallelujah. Well, take your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3 first this morning. Acts chapter 3. You can just hold your spot there. How many of you heard about what's happening in Kentucky at Asbury University? It used to be known as Asbury Theological Seminary. Yeah. You know, in 1970, I remember back many years ago watching old videos and of the revival that happened there in 1970. And it was genuine. It was the real thing. It appears now about over 50 years later that God's moving there again in a powerful way. Since last Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, they normally have a chapel service, and it just never ended. And it's still going. As of last night, their chapel, which is huge, is packed from wall to wall and to floor to ceiling. And from all accounts, it seems to be the real thing. So I'll be going to Kentucky at some point here pretty soon because I believe that we should not take these things for granted when they happen. I want to read this. Let's go down to in Acts chapter 3. And let's see. Oh, gosh. We'll start at verse 11 here. This is after Peter and John healed the lame man at the temple. And it says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All now, brethren, I wot that you through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.'" Now, I want to go back to this verse where he says, "Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, I want to put this word up, the definition of this word refreshing, because this is going to be an important part of what I'm going to share with you today. But this word refreshing here in the Greek, original Greek. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Anapsiasix, whatever. I even listened to it beforehand. I was like, okay, this one's out there. But it says here, of course, the outline of biblical usage, a cooling, a refreshing. The Strong's says this, a recovery of breath. Revival, recovery of breath. Anybody, you know, I used to play football. And so anybody ever had the breath knocked out of you? Let me see how you got the breath knocked out of you. It's a very strange thing that happens because it hurts. And then you cannot breathe for a little while, right? There's no getting any breath in. And you are so grateful when you get that breath back in you again. And, you know, we use this term a lot of times that, you know, we go through things sometimes. We go through trials and difficulties, and we use the term, I got the breath knocked out of me. And that's life. That's normal life. I think Rocky Balboa said nothing hits you as hard as life, right? And it's true. Life is, we're all going to have sufferings and trials and betrayals and disappointments and all kind of things. But can somebody say, thanks be to God who will come with a time of refreshing? You hear me? He'll give you your breath back. And, you know, sometimes, and I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes the trials and difficulties, the season of trials and difficulties that you will go through go on a lot longer than you want them to go. You would really like to see them change maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it's still going on. And this is why it's so important to seek the Lord and ask Him for His presence and His touch in your life. Because it's these times of refreshing that's going to get you through. You hear what I'm saying? Now, the term revival, if you look at the term revival, it literally means something that was alive, that died, and was brought back to life. Kind of like somebody that's at the point of death, and you give them CPR, and you bring them back to life. You revive them. All right? And this is the mysterious thing. You know, I've been around revivals, real ones, real moves of God at different seasons over the last, going on now, 36 years. I've been to the meetings where God was moving. I remember going to one of the first powerful meetings I ever went to after I came back to the Lord in 1987 was it was an Assembly of God college, I don't know what you call it, retreat, where I think we had a group from Auburn. We were the group from Auburn. There was a group from Alabama, University of Alabama. There was groups from all over the state that kind of met in one place. And all I can tell you is that the leaders of that, before that meeting, they got together for a while and prayed and fasted that God would move. And I remember the short little guy that was the main speaker this one evening was going to speak on missions. And the Lord completely changed his message, and he talked about hell. And he talked about hell and who's going there for about an hour. But let me tell you what happened. There's a difference, and I'm going to say this, and I'll explain this more in a minute, but there's a difference between the anointing and a visitation of God. All right? I tell people all the time, and there's a difference between what we call the anointing or the glory of God. And well, I'll define it for you this way. The anointing, or what we call the touch of God, is, I call it the atmosphere around Him. It's not necessarily, it's kind of like if He was not fully walked in the room yet, but He had almost walked in the room, and he his aroma had spread into the room, and you knew he was coming, but he's not really in the room yet. It's just his presence, his anointing. But when there's a visitation, the difference is that Jesus steps in the room like in fullness. Yes, and I know there's a difference between, yes, I know God's everywhere all the time, but there's a difference when God chooses to really rend the heavens and step down among us. I experienced this at that meeting that, I can't remember what it was called now, but that college retreat, and I think it was in 1987. It may have been early 88. I can't remember now. But the power of God came down in that room. The fear of God and the power of God. It's like he stepped in the room. And everyone just had to get on their face. And nobody left for hours. Hours. People weeping, moaning, crying, groaning in the spirit. People repenting of their sins. People getting baptized. I remember at the end, it was like toward the end of that several hour period, people were starting to go from the fear of God and the repentance and the seriousness of the moment to joy. And people started getting baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I remember being in the back praying for people along the wall that were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing time. Now, that was just one meeting. I've shared many times how I've been to, you know, I went to the Brownsville Revival, and God was moving in a powerful way. I remember the first meeting, and this is maybe help me explain what I'm talking about. But the first meeting I went to, because I always go, I'll check these things out. And I was, Lord, is this you? Because if it ain't him, I'm leaving. Right? Because there's a lot of goofy stuff that goes on in the church world, particularly in the charismatic Pentecostal church world. There's a lot of goofy, I call it charismania, just nonsense that goes on. And then there's the real. And I always say, Lord, was this you? And I remember I was sitting in the about, I don't know, on the bottom floor, kind of close to the front, but in the aisle, and I was looking up at the podium there in the Brownsville church, and this is an hour before the service started. And I said, Lord, is this you? And I saw Jesus. I saw a vision of him standing there. Now, he was 40, 50, 60 feet tall, just massively standing like. And now, I know that Jesus is not 40, is 50, 60 feet tall. But the Lord was giving me a vision, and he was explaining something to me. And he told me, he said, I'm here in a different way. Basically, I'm here in a big way, and you will see. And this was at the very, you know, very beginnings of the revival, just within months of it beginning. Nobody knew it was going to go on for 5 years. 5 million people visit that church from all over the world, not to mention all the people that were touched there. There was a particular pastor from Smithton, Missouri, and I can't remember his name now. But I remember he was so beaten down by being a pastor. And he was so depressed, he was ready to quit. He even admitted later he contemplated committing suicide because he just could not take the pressure of being a pastor anymore. And he was going to quit. And his wife, I think, heard about the Brownsville Revival and said, you know, and basically his church knew he was in a bad way. And they said, you are going to the revival. Now, you hear him tell the testimony, and this man had been crying out to God to touch him, to do something in him, to revive him, to renew him, to, you know, fix his heart, to give him back his joy, his passion, his zeal, all these things. And it's like the Lord, I don't know why he does this sometimes. It's just like he said, just doesn't answer. Anybody felt like that once in a while? It's like, Lord, I really need you right now. I'm tired of walking by faith. I need some sight, right? I need some encounter here. I need some visitation from you. And so, you know, he'd been praying, his wife had been praying and all these things, but he was just like, again, he was just, he had gotten to, you know, the devil was attacking him and in his own mind, and he just, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. Pastoring a church is a lot of wear and tear on you, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I'll tell you guys this. The last 14 years of doing this church ain't been easy. I've been attacked more than pretty much all the years prior to that. I've been betrayed more times than I can count. I've been betrayed by friends and people I trusted, by family members. And, you know, you just keep going. No matter how beat up you get. Now, that's something I learned when I was young. You just keep pressing on no matter how beat up you feel. No matter how tired you feel. No matter how, you know, whipped you feel. That's I guess they ingrained that in us when we were, from the time we were little ones playing football. No matter, I played football with a broken ankle and broken ribs and everything else. You just keep playing. Well, this guy, Smith of Missouri, he goes to Brownsville, and he's still struggling. He's there for a week, you know, and he's still struggling the whole for several days. And he said, I can't really tell you when it happened. He said, I was down there at the altar, and he said, I saw these people pouring their heart out to God and saying, I wish I could be like them. He said, I can't tell you when it happened, but when he got back to his church in Smithton, Missouri, about the time he walked in the door, he drove all the way back, and he got right back for their evening Sunday night service, and he walked in the door, and the power of God hit him, and the power of God fell upon his whole church, and they had revival there for years after that. So a lot of people, we hear about Brownsville, well, you didn't hear about Smithton, Missouri, did you? Because, see, revival, when God really visits and he begins to move, he starts changing people's hearts and reviving and renewing believers that have been through a lot. That's what it's for. I know some of you in here have been beaten up for a long time. And even now you're going through some things, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And you feel worn out, beaten up, beaten down. And, you know, a lot of times you say nothing to anybody, but you everything in you, in the flesh, wants to say, I quit. I give up. Some folks, they quit coming to church because they just still, even they come to church a lot of times and they still leave, feel depressed and feel alone and just feel the attack on them. And it's not the church doing it to them. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But it's just the battle that we face. And we all face different battles, and sometimes those battles go on for a long period of time, and they wear you down. And God knew this about his church, not that Satan would ever prevail against the true church, but the true church still gets tired, still gets beat up, still gets oppressed, attacked, vilified. And we have to, you know, I remind the Lord sometimes. You ever said, Lord, hey, you remember, I'm just human. You know, that whole thing, I hate these sayings we have. God won't give you more than you can handle. Where'd that come from? Because most of it's not from God. The devil's given us more than we can handle. And that's the devil's job, is to overwhelm us. That's what he wants to do, is just overwhelm us. This is why the Bible says in the last days, the Antichrist, and this is Daniel 7, will try to wear out the saints. Somebody say, wear out. And the word there, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it literally means, and it can be physical, but it's more in a mental and emotional wearing out. And this is why we need revival. Because what happens when these states go for long periods of time, we begin to, I guess we just get in survival mode. Right? And once you get in survival mode, basically what you're doing is treading water. You're just treading water. You're not really getting anywhere. You're staying alive. You're staying afloat. But you're not doing too well. And nobody can fix this in your life. No pastor, no minister, no elder, no deacon, no prophet with the word. Nobody can fix this but Jesus and a touch from him. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I hope you will one day. Because it's been those times of refreshing in my life is why I'm still here doing this after 36 years of fighting the devil, fighting people, fighting evil people. I wouldn't be still here. There's been times God has stepped in. And I remember when I was pastoring the church in Montgomery. And see, at that time, when I started the church in Montgomery in 1995, it was in the summer of 1995, I still had a lot of that youthful zeal going on. So, I was ready to conquer the world for Jesus, right? But pastor that in Montgomery for a few years, and you find out Montgomery's whooping your butt. Montgomery's a dark place, evil place. I leave this town and go there, you can feel there's a different stronghold, principality that's there. I remember when I lived there doing a study, and the counties around there and the counties around in different across Alabama, the divorce rate was like 60-something percent, which was about the same as it was across the country. In Montgomery County at the time, it was over 80%. So that tells you that there was another spirit working there, a strong one, right? And it was something else there. But I remember I'm pastoring the church, and, you know, when you start a church, there's probably, I don't know, I mean, I may be going to another country and trying to start a ministry in a difficult foreign land is probably more difficult. But starting a church is one of the most difficult things you can do. And I'll tell you why. I went to a pastor before I started the church in Montgomery. And he had planted 7 churches. And I went to him, and he was older than me, for advice. And he said, well, he said, the people that start out with you by the first year, they'll all be gone. Right? He said, because a lot of people get excited about a new church, starting a new church, until it gets time to do the serious work. Right? And when the excitement wears off of it being new, then they're out the door. And guess what? Every church that I've started since, I've seen almost the same exact pattern follow. So it's kind of difficult to do those things. But I remember I was in the difficult period about not by 97. 96, 97, but thank God the Brownsville revival happened, and I started going down. I remember when it started, I started going down once a week. Now, why? Because I knew I needed a time of refreshing in my life. Even though I was the pastor, even though God was doing some good things, I saw more miracles in that church in Montgomery in just the first 2 years than I've seen the whole time here. That's something we need to change around here. But I remember the Brownsville revival started, and I mean, I remember going down there and God showing me that, and I remember feeling the glory of God, the presence of God there. But it was when I left and came home. And I remember the first Sunday after visiting the revival, I got up to speak, and there was something different there. There was truly a fresh anointing, a fresh power of God on my life from just going to the revival. And I remember giving an altar call and praying for people, and it was just the power of God was flowing. And then it was in right after I went in the summer of 90, I think I went June, somewhere in that period, to Brownsville, and then got invited to go speak to a little Messianic Torah group that were not like the ones now in over in Georgia, about 4 hours away from where I live in Montgomery. And I thought I was really only supposed to speak one night, one evening. That was it. And they had about 60 folks show up, 7 o'clock. And so the Lord dealt with me about speaking about Revelation 3, about being a lukewarm Christian and how God touched me and revived me by going to the revival. Well, let me tell you, the power of God fell in that place like we haven't even seen here in this church. The power of God fell in that place, and people were on their faces on the floor repenting of their lukewarmness. The meeting started at 7 o'clock in the evening. At 2 a.m., we were all still there. And I mean, the power and presence of God was so thick in the room. You didn't want to leave. You didn't want to leave. And so what happened was, people that were there that were part of a, you ever, anybody remember the Women's Aglow Fellowship? Yeah, all right. Well, there was a Women's Aglow meeting the next day at this rich lady's house. And they were like, "Why don't you come over and share there?" Okay, I'll go to the Women's Aglow meeting. Power of God falls there. Right? Later that evening, "Well, why don't you go? There's a men's meeting at the First Baptist Church. We want you to come speak there." I'm like, "Oh, boy, okay." Let me tell you something. I'm at a men's meeting. The room is full. I'm speaking at a men's meeting. This was not scheduled before I left Alabama. And I'm speaking at a men's, and literally see Jesus. I see a vision like heaven open, like the ceiling open. While I'm preaching, Jesus with a big pitcher, like he's about to pour it out right there. And the anointing and the glory of God got so strong, and there is a thing about being drunk in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you this, it's real. Because the Spirit of God was on me so strong that I had to hold on to the pulpit, the little podium thing, or I wouldn't be able to stand up to finish my sermon. And when I finished, I'm in First Baptist Church, and people are repenting and weeping and crying. And so the next thing they tell me is like, "Well, tomorrow there's a citywide prayer meeting. You need to come share at the citywide prayer meeting," where all these churches were coming together. So I did that. And out of that, just to tell you, I was there for 3 to 4 days. And out of that started a new church there. Okay? And once we started the new church, the first service of the new church, which was several weeks later, was over 65 people in the first service. And 5 Mormons came and sat in the back row. And at the end of the service, prayed for them, and they hit the floor and got up saved, gave their lives to Jesus, and came out of Mormonism. Now, I'm telling you all this to say that I've experienced the real thing. I experienced the real thing at Brownsville. I experienced the real thing even before Brownsville in some great meetings before that. But let me just go on and tell you, since Brownsville, it's been pretty dry in the sense of revival in America. We've actually been going the other direction very fast. The falling away, constant compromise, constant sin in the camp. Like I shared last week, America and her prophets, just the constant disappointments, the constant falling away, the constant scandals and You know, I had a list of them last week that I didn't even get to. A list of huge, we're talking about mega churches, scandals. Most of them sexual misconduct. And you're like, what is going on in the church world? We are just flesh driven and controlled. And I'm just like, Lord, what in the world is going on? And, you know, in this church, we've prayed for revival on and off. I don't think we've ever been as focused on it as we should be, that God would visit. Now, not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, God came in our prayer meeting. I mean, in a powerful way, and kind of just took over. And that is a trickle. That's a drop in the bucket of what is possible. But I want to encourage you. If we are now seeing the beginning of another revival out of Kentucky, God, when he moved there in the 1970s, that revival spread, and God used those young people that left there to basically spread it across the nation. If this is a real revival in Kentucky, and I believe it is, then that means we're moving into another season where God is, it will move. Because, see, what people forget is, and even, you know, whatever problems you might have with Toronto, when that revival began in the Toronto Vineyard in 1994, right before Brownsville, God was moving. Now, they let the kooks come in and mess it up. But it was a move of God. God was moving mightily in Sunderland, England, in an Anglican church where the pastor got filled with the Holy Spirit and touched in a revival and went back, and God was moving. And that's actually where Steve Hill went, to Sunderland, England, to the revival there. Or it was in either Sunderland or England, London at the time. I can't remember now, because they were having revival. Revivals were breaking out everywhere at the time. My point is, it's like there was a season of God moving. And this, you know, people didn't hear, you didn't hear the stories about Brownsville. You know how many churches got touched by the Brownsville revival and it transformed their church? A lot of people don't know this. The pastor, the Baptist pastor of the First Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and was helping in the Brownsville revival, actually preached at the Brownsville revival, and got the left foot of fellowship. But that kind of thing was going on. When you're talking about prominent denomination leaders getting touched by the power and presence of Jesus and willing to lose all that reputation, even lose their jobs and their churches because of associating with Brownsville. And let me just go in and tell you right now, every move of God gets demonized and attacked. There's always going to be critics. You know, some of the famous preachers back in 1906 called the Azusa Street Revival, which was a true move of God, called it the last vomit of Satan upon the earth. Yeah. There's always going to be critics. Always going to be critics. Especially if there's manifestations, like people shaking, trembling under the power of God, or falling in the floor, or weeping and groaning, or, oh, that's the devil. Better be careful what you label the devil. Because, yeah, the devil can counterfeit all kinds of stuff. But in every single revival, whether it was under Wesley or Finney or, I mean, you name it, the Cambridge revival, all of these revivals, God touched people and they responded. And sometimes he touched them in a powerful way, and their bodies couldn't handle it, and it was on the floor. And sometimes shaking, sometimes trembling, sometimes. And listen, the Lord, I've had the Holy Spirit. People mocked the so-called laughing revival. Let me tell you, before that revival ever happened with Rodney Howard Brown at Carpenter's when he came from South Africa, before I ever heard about him, before that ever happened, that was in 93. Before that ever happened, I remember being in a prayer meeting with just about five or six guys that I had led to the Lord and I was discipling at the time. And we were praying, getting ready to go out on the street witnessing. And the power of the Holy Spirit hit me so strong that I laid in the floor and laughed for 45 minutes and couldn't stop laughing. And I want to tell you what, when I got up from there, I felt strong. I felt like the joy of the Lord is our strength. I felt strengthened. I felt changed. In fact, they were looking at me like, what has happened to him? But what happened was funny was they watched me laughing for 45 minutes. They started laughing because they were laughing at me because they were just like, they thought it was hilarious. But it was God. It was the Holy Spirit moving. I think the Lord was showing me that God was going to be doing something in that area. And I think God used Rodney Howard Brown in the beginning of it. Did the kooks come in and it get out of control? Yes. The devil tries to step in and take over and interfere and break up or taint every move of God. That's what he does. Just go ahead and accept it. That if it is a move of God, Satan's going to move to try to stop it, infiltrate it, water it down, bring in false doctrine, bring in counterfeit gifts. That's how Azusa Street ended. Azusa Street ended because the occultists began to come in there. They discerned they were occultists operating in counterfeit supernatural manifestations, but they didn't stop them because they were afraid. Had they stopped that nonsense, the Azusa Street revival might have gone on for more than the 4 years that it went. 3.5, 4 years, whatever it was. The Welsh revival. You know, the Welsh revival ended pretty much because Evan Roberts didn't understand the principle of resting. And he was the leader of it, but he wouldn't rest. And when you go 24/7 for week after week after week, your physical body is going to shut down at some point. And so his physical body shut down, and a deceiver moved in and got control of him because he was weak and exhausted and broken down. And that ended the Welsh revival. But some people say, well, you know, if it's going to be such a battle over revival, why would you want one? Because, oh, the things that happen. Oh, the things that happen. The people that get saved that would never have gotten saved. The healings that happen. Just spontaneous. Nobody even talking about healing. And people getting healed. That's when you know, too, God is really moving. But how many of you, I want you all to know something. There are people that went to the Brownsville revival. Was their last stop before suicide. Many, I cannot tell you how many testimonies I heard during those years. I was going to end my life. But God touched me at the revival. The young people that got saved there, oh my word. The young people that got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit there and now are missionaries. Two friends of mine that I discipled, that I took out on the streets before the Brownsville Revival, went to the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry and have been missionaries in Japan and other places for years. Revivals bring great change lasting fruit. You look at the people who left the Azusa Street Revival and spread across not just America, but across the world. Just one man who left the Azusa Street Revival after being touched by God, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed. God called him there during the revival to leave everything. He was a wealthy insurance man. And to leave all that to go to Africa. John G. Lake. How many have heard of John G. Lake? See, somebody got some homework to do then, see? You don't know about John G. Lake. You need to do some homework. Probably one of the most powerful healing ministries in the 20th century was in Africa when the plague hit. Can somebody say we need revival? I need revival. See, I ain't gonna lie. I need it. Y'all hear me? 14 years of a bunch of hardheads, Judases, a 2-year campaign for governor, COVID-19, the death of my sister from the vaccine. The betrayal of family. Let me tell you, I'm only human. Some people think, oh, you know, you're a pastor, you're superhuman. No. No, you're not. And so I say this, if I need it, so you need it. But I need it. We need a time of refreshing. And I'm saying this is more because you need to be praying. And that's why I'm going to be on the first trip possible to go to this thing in Kentucky if it continues. You know, we don't know how long it's going to last, how long the leaders of it will follow God and keep going. That's one thing about the Brownsville Revival. They didn't know how long it was going to last either. They just said, well, y'all want to come back tomorrow? Yeah. 5 years later, they were coming back, still coming back tomorrow, you know. Nothing is impossible with God. See, let me give you a little, y'all know the story of the Pool of Bethesda, right? Remember the angel would come down at a certain season and trouble the waters, and it said the first person in to the waters would be healed. But it says that there was a great multitude of sick people around. And see, what I look at that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing will help a few people. But what happened when Jesus walked up? Jesus walks up there. See, the difference there is when Jesus walked up and healed the man that had been crippled for 38 years, it went from being an anointing to being a visitation. Now, Jesus only healed him and left. But the testimony of that man, do you imagine what that did? To that whole region? You see, what did Jesus tell them? Luke 19, he said the judgment would come upon the Jews in Jerusalem at that time because they knew not the time of their visitation. Meaning, I didn't just give you a touch. I didn't just give you an anointing. I visited you. I visited you, and I moved in great power. You are without excuse. And sometimes I think this is why the Lord holds back, because once he moves like that in your life, or you see it, you witness it, you are without excuse after that. You see, I've seen too much. How many of you, I've played this video a few times for y'all. How many of y'all have I showed you've seen the Allison Ward video? Anybody, how many of you have seen it in here? So several have not. Y'all find that for me. We're going to play that in a minute. Just to give you an example, some of you have seen it, some of you haven't. It's funny, when I went to speak at a candidate forum during the campaign down in, where were we? Were we in Fairhope? The lady who signed me in was Allison Ward, the lady that's you're going to see in this video. And I said, I know you. You don't remember me, but I remember you. The power of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, the power of God is something else. And we quench him. A lot of times we quench him. There's the danger. Okay, how do I put it? There's the danger of you can be so worried about the counterfeit than the fake and the manipulation and everything else. You can be so worried about that you won't be open to anything God does. Or you can be like some of the Fruit Loops, and they're just too open to everything, right? And that's why they get the Fruit Loop demons. Because they just, woohoo! Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids, right? So there's the danger of being too open, but there's the danger of being closed off. And, we were talking about this. My wife is always very cautious about things, which is good. She goes, what if we go there and it's not real, and it's just we get all kind of crap comes on us, all kind of demonic stuff or whatever. And I was like, for us, understanding deliverance for Christians, we know how to get rid of it. So we'll be all right either way. Because she grew up with the crap, yeah. She grew up with the charismatic foolishness, the counterfeit, and it hurt her because she tells me she said I didn't get to see the real, and that's sad. And I hate it. I'm the first to tell you I'm Pentecostal charismatic Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. All that means is that I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today, and that the Holy Spirit still moves and Jesus still heals people and casting out demons is still for today. That's all that means. But my branch of Christianity got on the cuckoo train, and they're still on that train, and it's moving fast. It's a bullet train. It's moving. And they keep heading into more and more cuckoo stuff, like laying on graves, trying to get an anointing. Can I just tell you right now, you don't have to lay on a grave to get an anointing. Never laid on a grave in my life, and I got the anointing. All right? You don't have to be silly. And another way you know that a move of God is real is what they preach. And if they preach repentance of sin and holiness and obedience and submission to the will of God, they preach the cross of Jesus Christ and you to take up your cross and follow him. See, people can say what they want. They can say the Brownsville revival wasn't the real thing. Most of them that say that were not there. See, that's why the Lord had me go, because I am a witness. Night after night after night, I watched Steve Hill preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, call sinners to repentance, call the prodigals out of the pig pen. He preached against sin, and he got specific about sin. And he talked about heaven and about hell. And people would get up and run to the altar in tears to repent. So you can call it what you want, but it was a move of God, because I saw over 1,000 people do that night after night after night. And I was down there with a pastor badge on, counseling people at the altar after they had prayed with Steve Hill. So I saw it with my own eyes. I talked to the people that were at the altar It wasn't fake. Now, did Brownsville make the same mistake that the Vineyard made and other churches made, Azusa Street? Did they make the same mistake and at the end start letting the kooks in? Yes. And they paid a dear price for it. I remember when it started happening, I said, the revival will end. And it did. I sat at lunch one day with Dr. Michael Brown, who was the head of the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. What happened? How did it end? We had a full discussion about it. Let's hope that Asbury doesn't make the same mistakes. Let's hope if God grants us his grace and mercy and gives us a revival here in Opelika, Alabama, that we will not make the same mistakes. Because anybody's capable of doing that. But I want to share with you, please be praying for God to pour out his Spirit, for revival to come here, for refreshing and renewal to come here, for a true move of God to come here, because souls are in the balance. And to think for 1 minute that we have enough, or we have, that we're, you know, rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. That whole mentality. You know, our church here, you know, we're blessed. We're blessed with a lot of truth that we know and understand. Can I go and tell you that's not enough? Knowledge can puff you up, make you prideful too. So knowledge is not the primary thing. What is the primary thing? His presence, his glory, his power. Now, what did Paul say? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. That was an introduction. It's not even 12 yet. So we're good. As I tell Faith when she gets hurt, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Look what Paul said to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And the word power there is dunamis in the Greek, meaning the miracle power of God, the supernatural power of God. The demonstration of the Spirit there means the gifts of the Holy Spirit in demonstration. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you see that? Look at chapter 4. Go on down to verse 20. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You know when the power is present. The power of God is present. People are saved. People are convicted of their sins. The fear of God is there. Backsliders tremble and are very uncomfortable in church. But they come back to the Lord. People are healed. People are delivered from demons. Somebody say, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's the same word a minute ago, dunamis. 1411 in the Strong's. And what we need is the power of God. What we need is the visitation of God. I've been in the glory of God. I'm going to tell you right now. Let me tell you the difference. I've had the anointing come on me. The anointing comes on me. I feel the anointing on me right now with what I'm sharing with you. But when the glory comes on me, I wouldn't be able to stand up here. Even the word glory in the Hebrew, kabod, means heavy. It's the heavy presence of God. It's that glory that came in Solomon's temple when it said the priests could not stand to minister. They were trying to stand. They could not stand. He was talking about, getting falling out and the floor is not of God. Wrong-o. Let me tell you, one night I went down for prayer at the Brownsville Revival. I remember Steve Hill. I said, Lord, if this is you, let Steve Hill come pray for me. Now, he was on the platform. I was down in a sea, a mass of humanity. It's like and then the Red Sea parted. He came flying down from the platform straight at me. Never got his hand on me, got his hand about this far away from pray for me, and I flew about 15 feet back. I was in the center aisle of the church where the podium was. I flew backwards on the floor. The glory of God was so strong. There was another time I got prayed for there, and I hit the floor, and I don't give courtesy drops. I don't go down easy. But I went to the floor, and it was the presence of God washed over me, and I hit the floor. And I started to get right back up. I'll never forget this. I was, you go down, you get up. And I started to get up, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, why don't you just stay here a minute? I thought, okay. And I stayed there, and let me tell you what happened. As I laid there, and I was completely awake. I was conscious of everything going on around me. I had my eyes closed, but I'm just laying. I'm right down there by the steps, As I laid there, it was like 45 minutes passed. The glory of God came on me heavy. It was like I had like about three or four of those weighted blankets on me. Y'all know about the weighted blankets? It's like I had just, they piled on me. It kept getting heavier. It didn't hurt, but I couldn't get up. After 45 minutes, I could not get up. Like the priest could not stand, I couldn't get up. They're starting to shut down. This is the end of the night. They start flipping the lights on and off, get everybody to get out of there. I'm like, I couldn't speak, and I couldn't move. I'm like, well, I hope my friends come back for me, because I guess I'm going to sleep here, stay here in Pensacola for the night. But it was, the glory of God was so heavy and so strong. And I remember there were times like that. I'd come back home, 3 hours drive from Pensacola back to Montgomery, and I go back home. I remember one night, I was sitting on the couch after it was a Sunday evening. I went to Brownsville on Saturday, got back at 3 o'clock in the morning, got up at 6, got ready, preached our service, our church in Montgomery. Sunday evening, I'm exhausted, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm telling about what happened. And the power of God hits me again, except this time the Holy Spirit hits me in weeping and groaning and this overwhelming burden for lost souls around me. And it bent me over on my couch, and then finally I just fell over into the floor. But it was groanings that cannot be uttered with intelligible speech. It was down here. And I was weeping for people that I knew were lost and on their way to hell. And I knew the Holy Spirit was interceding through me for them. And see, this is what I'm talking about. There's a power of God we can have in prayer and intercession. There's a power of God we can have in worship. There's a power of God we can have in preaching and witnessing. The question is, and this is what Leonard Ravenhill used to say. I just read this in my notes. In Acts 3, that chapter above there, I wrote what Leonard Ravenhill says. He said, you know why we don't have revival? Is he said, because we're content to live without it. When you finally say, God, I want you to move in power and glory. I want you to visit us. When that becomes a passion. And I'll admit, I've had that passion in my life. And when you pray for something for a long period of time and it doesn't happen, you begin to slack off. But see, we get all caught up with, well, Lord, it's been 20 years or it's been. And he's like, to him, that's nothing. To him, it's like, you know what? You got to get ready. I remember Gene May prophesying over me when I was young one time, and he told me, oh, yeah, the anointing's going to come upon you. He said a powerful teaching anointing's going to come upon you, be very powerful in the body of Christ. And then he goes, but that's not today. That's not for now. That's when your hair is white. Now, when you're a young man hungry for God, you don't want to hear that is when your hair turns white. Sorry. No, I want it now, Lord. I want all that now. Now, he still did things in my life. But I'm going to tell you right now, there were times at the Brownsville Revival in the glory of God, in the presence of God, where he told me things that still hadn't happened yet. The question is, are you seeking him to hear his voice for what you have to do? And are you praying? Let me tell you right now, everything else, every dream, every desire we have for God to save people and touch people and all that stuff really is encompassed in a revival. It's supernatural. It's beyond what you can ask or think. And it's like, and once he starts moving like that, you're afraid to do anything wrong because you don't want him to leave. And it's not that he leaves us and forsakes us. We're not talking about that. It's just that kind of visitation ceases. See, the disciples got a good promise when Jesus said, I'm leaving. He said, but I'm sending the Comforter. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Boy, guess what happened when the Holy Spirit came? Another revival. See, Jesus' ministry was a revival. And then the Holy Spirit was a whole new dimension of revival because it wasn't just Jesus. It was the 12 and the 70, and then it was thousands, and then it was Paul, and then it was spread everywhere. I remember that Carmen video years ago about revival. The devil in the video, he goes, I hate revival. It just erupts. It's hardly controllable. Yeah, the devil hates revival. Let's play this clip for those who haven't seen it from Brownsville. This is Allison Ward's testimony. This is just August 18, 1995. That's a long time ago.
I'm 19 years old, and I've been through high school, and I'm in college now, and at the beginning of this revival, I didn't come for the first week. I was like everyone else. I wasn't so sure about it. And church had always been kind of just a requirement anyway. So it was the second Sunday of this revival that I came to the night service. And Steve preached on, I have a verse for it. It's in Matthew 6. 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And what Steve preached about that night was, you cannot hold on to the hand of God and onto the hand of the world at the same time. And all through high school and college, I've known God. Well, God has had a place in my heart, but he didn't really have a place in my life. And I never thought that God had anything to offer other than just sitting at church, and I'd never given him a chance to do anything in my life. So I was constantly running after the world. I was running after what I thought I had to have something that the world would give me. But whenever I heard that, what Steve preached, my eyes were opened. Like Steve preached last night, Satan, he blinds us. And I was blinded by worldly things that I thought I had to have, and worldly friends that I thought I had to have. And all it took to totally change my life was for me to listen and really hear what these people, these men of God are trying to say, what God is trying to say. You know, the Bible says people, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear what people are trying to say and what God is trying to say to them. And I listened that night, and God totally opened my eyes. He changed my whole life. I was terribly depressed because I had enough of God in me to know what I was doing was wrong and to be miserable doing it. And I was in the most horrible position you can be in. God says himself, he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than to have you be lukewarm, because you're no good to anybody unless you're hot or cold. So I'm hot now. That happened to me the first week of the revival. And like they say, you don't have to search after the manifestation. The manifestation is on me now, but it wasn't for a long time. I came to lots of meetings, and I got prayed for, and I never felt anything physically happen, but my whole life was transformed. And now God has given me the gift of intercession, and he's allowed me to feel, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to feel just part of the pain that he feels whenever people don't listen to him. I've realized that the Holy Spirit, he's here. He's waiting on all of us. Just a tiny bit of our heart to want him. He'll come in and change your whole life. He'll change everything.
Yes, he will.
Everything.
Whenever this is on you, Allison, you don't have pain, do you?
No, it's not painful at all.
You know, seriously, whenever someone sees someone like this, that's manifesting the Spirit of the Lord, they think they're under pain or they're under duress. But it's not like that at all. Tell them what it's like.
Well, there's two different kinds with me. Like right now, I think the glory of God is so strong up here, my body just can't really take it. And that's why I'm doing this. But there's other times whenever I come into God's presence and I don't move at all, but inside me, it's like there's just waves of God inside of me. And Then there's other times whenever I'm interceding and it's not painful to my body, but it's painful to my heart because I know that God loves people so much and he's in a hurry. He wants everyone. There's not much more time. He aches and he grieves for your spirit. He grieves for you.
No one can add to it or take away from it. If you're in this building tonight and you're away from God, there's sin in your life and you know it, you need to come back to Jesus. I want you to get up from where you're at and come to these altars right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Get up and come. You need to run to Jesus right now. Get up and come right now. Get up and come right now. You're away from the Lord. I want you to come right now. Get up right now. Up in the balcony. You need Jesus to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you. You're spiritually dead. Get up and come right now to the altar. Get up and come right now. Get up and come. This is a message tonight. This preacher is not going to preach. This was a message tonight. This rarely happens, friends, and we're obeying God. We are obeying God tonight. Get up and come. You're away from God. Get up and come right now. If you're backslid.
So we need some services like that, don't we? And I was in many services where it just, people would start just weeping and moaning and groaning, and they would just pause and let God do what he needed to do. We need a visitation of the Holy Spirit like this. 5 minutes in that cures a lot of things that 5 hours of counseling or 5 years of teaching won't do. And there's stories, there's revival history. We cover it some in our school of ministry. But there's been some great and mighty moves of God. Around the same time of the Asbury revival in 1970, God moved in Indonesia in a powerful, when Presbyterians are walking on water and turning water into wine for communion and seeing the dead raised, that's a revival, folks. They call themselves the chosen frozen. Well, folks, let's remember, I want to do Have Mercy by Lindell. Let's stand. And let's pray. I sense the Lord just saying, get hungry. Get hungry for this. Get passionate for this. And it's not for a big meeting or to be famous or be Christian celebrities. That's not what it's about. If you want the glory of God, so that people are touched and saved. And there are people right now, folks, I'm going to tell you, in the world that are so desperate. They're so depressed. They're so distraught. There's so many problems. And you think about how we wrestle with these things, and we have the Lord to turn to and help us bear our burdens. I think about the people who don't have him to help them. How many of you saw, you know, Jordan Peterson, that he was speaking somewhere? I guess it was at Liberty University. And a guy just runs up to the platform and just says, I'm not well. I need help. Now, Jordan Peterson, I don't know that he's saved yet. I think God's trying to get him. He's definitely one of the most brilliant men in the country, but he's having this conflict between his mind of logic and the Holy Spirit convicting him and convincing him that Jesus is real. And you can see the conflict in him. He's not a spiritual leader yet, okay? Don't know that he's born again yet, but it's neat to see what the Lord is trying to get a hold of him. It's kind of like when Felix trembled, you know? I praise God for that. I praise God for what he's doing. But I think even that touched Mr. Peterson, because he was in a Christian university, and this guy runs up and clearly depressed beyond words, crying out for help. And they all went and prayed for him. But that, to me, is the state of the world, really. Because we got all these evil people doing all this evil stuff. And there's regular folks out there. They don't know how to cope with all this. And they're certainly not going to be coping well as it gets worse. And people need to run into a church, and they need to encounter God, not just a good sermon. Now, don't get me wrong. Good sermons are important. Doctrine is important. The establishing of the church in the Word of God is important. But more important than even that, we need his presence. Remember when the Lord told Moses, said, yeah, I'll give you the promised land. You can go on in, but I'm not going with you. Now think about that. I'll give you everything I promised you, but I'm not going. My presence will not go. And Moses was like, oh, no, we cannot have that. Your presence with us is the only thing that makes us any different than all the other nations of the world, all the other religions of the world. It is the present, the tangible, manifest presence and glory of the one true God, the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what we need. And I want to see revival and the power of God again here, before it's all over with. And I believe this. If we, as Fire and Grace Church and our extended church members, if we begin to pray for him to move in power and manifest his presence and bring true revival, I believe he will. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to stop everything bad that's going to happen in the world. But we can sure snatch a lot of people out of that despair. And that's what the church is here to do. Snatch people from the flames of hell. So let's do this song by Linda. Yes, Lord, that's our prayer this morning, Lord, that your glory would shine down, Lord, shine around, that you would rend the heavens and step down, Lord, that you would visit us, your people, Lord. We ask for it. We know we need you, Lord, in that way. God, we need your glory. We need you to step down and do great and mighty things, Lord, beyond what we could ask or think. We need your presence, your glory, your power, Lord, for your kingdom is not in word only, but in power, Lord. And we need that power from on high. We need that power that can convict of sin, that will bring people to repentance, that will reveal your love and your mercy and your presence, Lord, into people's lives, that they'll know that you love them, that you want them, that you don't want them to be lost, deceived. You don't want them to be separated from you forever. That's not your desire. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, we pray, God, that true revival would come. God, we pray for it in Opelika, at Fire and Grace Church, throughout this region, that it would spread across America. We pray for what's going on in Kentucky, Lord, at Asbury University. We pray for the anointing, the power, the glory to increase. Lord, for those young people to be filled and set on fire and spread across the country. Lord, we pray for a move of the Holy Ghost beyond what Brownsville was, beyond what Azusa Street was, beyond the Cane Ridge Revival, beyond the Welsh Revival, beyond the Hebrides. We're praying, Lord, that you take all of those and do even greater works. Lord, we're in a very dark time, an evil time. But you promised when darkness would cover the earth and gross darkness the people that your light and your glory, your anointing, your presence, your truth would arise upon your people and it'd be seen upon your people. Lord, even the news media is taking notice of what's happening in Kentucky. Lord, we have a generation of young people that have never seen revival. It's time, Lord. It's time, Lord. They need to know. They need to experience it. And I pray, Lord, it'll happen everywhere. Everywhere. Can we do one more? More of your spirit, more of your power. This is our prayer this morning. One more song. And just let this one play out there. I don't care if Facebook shuts it down. Facebook will give an account to God for it. They're storing up wrath for the day of wrath.
Ask for more of your power, more of your glory, more, we ask for more of your spirit, more of your presence like we never known. All we ask you, Lord, is for more. More, we ask for more
of your power,
more of your power,
more of your glory.
We ask for more
of your spirit.
More of your spirit.
give us more of your spirit.
Praise him. Thank him, Lord. Lord, you hear our cry. We want more of you, more of your presence, more of your power, more of your glory. We want true revival, Lord, in our midst, a visitation. We ask for a visitation that you would step down and visit in a mighty way here in Opelika. Lord, at Auburn, Lord, let a revival flow into that university, to those students, Lord, at Opelika High School, Opelika Junior High School, Auburn High, Auburn Junior High. Lord, we pray for revival to flow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all believe it? There's going to be a day now. Y'all think I preach long now? There'll be a day we won't quit. You hear me? We might just keep going. All right. Well, y'all hug some necks before you leave. And if you want to stay and eat, go get you something and come back. We'll be downstairs. Yes. Self-defense class next week for the ladies. What time does it start? One. All right, at one. All right. Yeah. The Bama Carry conference. Yeah. So that's next weekend on the. That's in Prattville. What's that? Oh, yeah, in Fairhope. Don't forget Fairhope on the 25th. Hope y'all making plans for that. Okay. And it's going to be good, I promise. That's all right. And then, of course, Skyfall registration is open. So there you go. I think that's all the announcements we have for today. God bless y'all. Hug some necks before you leave.